Now we're holding on Tzadik Ches Amud Beis, the first line of the medium size lines. Continuing to talk about Mashiach and things related to that. So the Gemara says, Amar of Gidol Amar Rav, Asidin Yisrael Da'achli Shnei Mashiach. The Jewish people in the future are going to eat and going to enjoy the times of Yemosa Mashiach. Amar of Yosef Shita, so Rav Yosef says, well, of course, Ve'alaman Ochelahu. Well, who else would be enjoying the times of Mashiach? Chilik and Bilik Achlilahu. Would Chilik and Bilik be eating and enjoying that time? What does Chilik and Bilik mean? It actually explains a couple of possibilities. One is that it was a common expression, like in English, you might say any Tom, Dick, and Harry, or they would just use it as like random names to mean people. Rashi brings first, it might mean it might mean names of shadim. It might be a phrase that means destruction. Rashi brings in that connection that at the Gemara in Chulin, referring to a certain places on the length of the windpipe where you are and aren't allowed to shecht. Meaning, in other words, that you're cutting through it. So therefore, chilik and bilik have to do with cutting and destruction, and therefore would be names like names of shadim. Rashi was another explanation that these are two names of judges in Sidurim. Whatever the case, according to various explanations, and there are a number of different other explanations among the Gaonim and the Rishonim, the point is that Chilik and Bilik are meant as like who else? Who else would be having Yemos HaMashiach if not the Jewish people? So the answer is, La'apuki midrab Hillel. The reason why Rav Gidol Amar Rav has to tell us that is to tell us not like Rav Hillel, the Amar Ein Mashiach Yisrael, that Rav Hillel says that there will not be a Mashiach for the Jewish people, Shekvar Achlu b'mei Chizkia, because they already enjoyed the promises of Yemos HaMashiach in Chizkia's times. Now, how could Rav Hillel say such a thing? Or does he not believe in a basic concept of Yiddishkeit? So there are many, many explanations of what Rav Hillel means by that exactly. First of all, Rashi says that it means, and Rashi says further on, that Rashi says Chizkiah was the Mashiach of his time, as we learned a few days ago, that Chizkiah could have been Mashiach, except that he didn't say Shira. But Rashi further on explains that Rav Hillel is saying that that Hashem himself will come and redeem us. In other words, that there doesn't have to be a human Mashiach. There are a lot of different explanations what Rav Hillel means. The Be'er Sheva says over here, it doesn't mean that... Doesn't mean that he's saying that there's not Mashiach. He means like this. We have various psukim that talk about him, but you can understand all those psukim as referring to Chizkiah. You don't necessarily have to refer them to as being the future Mashiach. But of course, there is going to be a Mashiach. We just don't have a solid proof for it in psukim. So there was that. The Radvaz brings that this is an example. Usually, we would say if a person denies a basic concept of Yiddishkeit, then it makes him a koifer. But here, Rav Hillel obviously thought into it and analyzed the psukim, and this is the conclusion he came up with. So the Radvaz says, actually, you wouldn't call him a koifer. It was an onus. He made a mistake. The Gemara is going to later on say the expression about him, Shorolei More, may Hashem forgive him for saying such a thing. So they didn't call him a koifer. They were saying he made a bad mistake by misunderstanding the psukim, but doesn't make him a koifer. The Chassam Sofer talks about the idea that then you have also before the Chassam Sofer, actually, the Barbanel points out, we learned yesterday about Be'ita and Achishena. There's a defined time by which Mashiach has to come, and then there's Achishena, where Mashiach can come faster at any time based on our Mice and Tovim. So according to him, according to the Barbanel, Rabbi Hillel is saying, there won't be the Achishena, there's just the defined time when Mashiach's going to come, and our Mice and Tovim aren't going to make him come any faster. So the Gemara criticizes him later on, and says, Shorolei Mar, may Hashem forgive him for saying such a thing because he's discouraging people from doing Torah and mitzvahs to bring Mashiach faster. But nevertheless, of course, he believes that Mashiach is going to be coming. And then you have the Chassam Sofer brings about it, actually. He says that, what if a person were to nowadays that we're after the times of the Rambam, who established the Yud Gimel Ikrim, and they became generally widely accepted among the Jewish people that these are the foundations of Yiddishkeit. At this point, if a person were to say now, well, you know what, I want to hold like Rav Hillel, I hold there doesn't have to be a human Mashiach, we would tell him, you know, the same way as the Gemara mentions, for example, that there's an opinion of Rav Yosi Aglili that you're allowed to have chicken with milk. But the halacha is not like him. If a person were to do that nowadays, he's an over, avera, because the halacha has been established like the Rambam, the same way over here. The halacha has been established like the Rambam, that you have to believe that there's a human Mashiach, and therefore you don't have sort of Hillel in his time. Before the halacha had been established, he has the ability to say this opinion, and we can say that he's mistaken or whatever, but after that, then once the halacha is established otherwise, then no, it would be kfira to say something like that. Anyway, the point is, Reb Gidl is telling us they're also not like him, and that's why he needs to stress that the Jewish people will have the times of Mashiach. All the promises about Mashiach have not happened yet in the time of Chizkiah. They will yet happen later on. But the Gemara continues, Amar Rav, lo ivri alma elo le David and Shmuel. The whole world was created only for the type of people like David and Shmuel. And David, in the schus of David, that he's going to say Shira to Hashem, and Shmuel, who led the Jewish people, Shmuel is the next line. Elo the David. The whole world was created only for the sake of David, only for the praises that David was going to sing to Hashem. Shmuel Amar LeMoshe. Shmuel says that the world was created for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu, who brought us the Torah. Rabbi Yechon Amar LeMashiach, and Rabbi Yechon says the whole world is created for the sake of Mashiach, where he's going to have the tremendous greatness, and he's going to fulfill, he's going to complete what David and what Moshe did in their respective times. So in other words, you know, Nisava Akharish Baruch Holiyasli Dira B'Tachtonim, which one of these three figures accomplished that in the best way? That would be the point of this argument. The Gemara goes on. Mashmoy, what is the name of Mashiach? Dvei Reb Shila Amri Shiloi Shmoy. In the yeshiva of Reb Shila, they said his name is Shiloi. Kenemah, the passage says, Ad ki yovei Shiloi, until Shiloi comes, and then Veloi Yichasamim, and then the people will gather, and the peoples, the nations will gather together to listen to him, and will be subjugated to him, and there's a lot of different explanations what Yichas means, but the point is that according to that, Shiloi, one explanation is it means Shiloi, they will bring presents to him. And there's a lot of different other explanations why Mashiach is called Shiloi. It's also brought Shiloi is the same gematria as Moshe, and plus Echad is the gematria of Mashiach, etc. Anyway, so they said that you can see from this pasuk that his name is Shiloi. Dvei Reb Yanai Ami, in the yeshiva of Reb Yanai, they said Yinon Shmoi. His name is Yinon. Kenema, as the pasuk says, Yehi Shmoi La'olam, his name will be forever, Lifnei Shemesh, before the sun even, because the name of Mashiach, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, was created even before the world, Yinoin Shmoi, his name will be Yinoin. And the simple meaning, Yinoin, means that it'll go to descendants, Melosh Nin, which means a grandson, which means, in other words, his name will be famous for generations to come, but the Gemara is Darshaning over here, Dvei Reb Yanai, Darshan, that Yinoin means that the pasuk is saying that Yinoin is a name of Mashiach. Those places where it brings the interesting idea that, you know, Nun is Gematria 50, you have He is Gematria 5, so it represents, in other words, that there's a certain connection between Mashiach's name, Yinoin, and the name Yud-Ke Vav-Ke. The Gemara elsewhere says, Asidim Tzadikim, Sheikoru al Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzadikim in the future will be called by the name of Hashem, so in token of that, then, the He's of Hashem's name are replaced by Nuns to form the name Yinoin, the name of Mashiach. In the yeshiva of Rav Chanina, they said his name is Chanina. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Asher lo etzem lachem Chanina, Hashem threatens in the time when the Jewish people are doing Averis, that I won't give you Chanina, meaning Mashiach won't be coming yet. You see that in each of these yeshivas, they consider that their Rebbe has a nitzitz, has a spark of Mashiach in him, and therefore they saw Mashiach as being a reflection of what Mashiach is truly going to be. The Yeshem and Menachem ben Chizkiah Shmoi. Some say that Mashiach's name is Menachem ben Chizkiah. Henema, as the pasuk says, Ki rochak mimeni Menachem meishiv nafshi. We say in Eicha that the Menachem, the Comforter, who's going to restore my soul, is far away. In other words, Mashiach's coming at the time when Megillas Eicha was written, at least, is very far away. Where they get ben Chizkiah, they had the Kabbalah that he's ben Chizkiah. One point is, you know, means that he's an outgrowth of Chizkiyah. We said before, strength and Torah learning tremendously among the Jewish people, so that we said that every child even knew the halachas, and therefore Menachem, the future Mashiach, is going to be an outgrowth of that. V'rabbanan Amri, the other Chachamim said, Chivra de Rebbe Shmoi. His name is, by the way, yeah, there's a famous vote in this connection that's wrote from the Vilna Gaon, the acronym of these names that we said, Menachem, and Shiloh and Yinon and Chanina is Moshiach. So therefore, in other words, representing each of them is talking about a different facet and a different aspect of what Mashiach really is. And each of them sees that aspect of it in their Rebbe. Amri, Chivra debay Rebbe Shmo. The Chachamim say that he's named Chivra, which means the white one, meaning the Metzora of the house of Rebbe. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Ochin cholayeno hu nasa. In truth, he's born our sicknesses, umachivenu svalam, and he's had to withstand our pains. Va'anachnu chashavnuhu, and we thought him nagua, the one who's afflicted with saras, mukeh lekim, the one who was struck by Hashem, mu'una. And pain. So in other words, we thought this person is just a mitzvah, and we didn't realize that he's Mashiach who's bearing all these pains and suffering on our behalf to clean up our avers. In context, Mephoshim explained that perek is talking about the Jewish people collectively, but here the Gemara is understanding that it refers to Mashiach specifically. There's sichas where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind it. So the Alter Rebbe explains in Lakut Torah why is it that you would have the concept of tzaras? It comes as a result of lashon hara and other averus or whatever. Why does it appear on the surface of the skin? The idea is you're talking about odom kiyah ba'or b'sari. You're talking about a person who has a very high ruchniyistika level, and the problems, the ills from which he has are superficial. They're on the most chitzoniyistika layer of him, and therefore, in token of that, it comes out on his skin. So the same way Mashiach represents that the problems and the faults of the Jewish people have all been cleaned up on the inside. The pnimius is all good. It's only the chitzonius that still needs to be cleaned up, and in token of that, then he's called a mitzvah. The Gemara continues. Amar of Nachman. If Mashiach is from the living, people who are living right now at the time when Mashiach comes, then Rav Nachman says an example would be like me. Rav Nachman, we find elsewhere, was related to the family of the Reish Galusa. He was very rich and powerful and a great Talmud Chacham, so he would be an example of what Mashiach is going to be. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Vahoya Adira Yimenu. The pasuk says his ruler will be his exalted one will be from within him. Umoshle, and his ruler means Kibra Yetze, will come from within the Jewish people. So, meaning, in other words, that like this in Mashiach's times, we're not going to be ruled over by the Goyim anymore. We're going to be ruled over by Mashiach, who's one of us. So, therefore, so now Rav Nachman has domination over Jews because he's related to the family of the Reish Galusa and he's a great Talmud Chacham, and so therefore he represents a lot of what Mashiach has to offer. Omer Rav, so Rav says in the same vein, Imin Chayayahu, if Mashiach is from the ones who are currently living, Rav lived in an earlier generation, Kigoin Rabbeinu HaKadosh, then an example would be Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So Rashi says two explanations of kigoin over here. The word kigoin means usually like. But Rashi's first explanation doesn't mean kigoin. He means Rabbeinu HaKadosh himself. He fits the definition that we said so far. He ruled over the Jewish people. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta that he's the representative of Malchus Beis David in his times in Eretz Yisrael. He was, of course, an outstanding Talmud Chacham, as the Gemara mentions elsewhere, Toto Gdullah B'Makom Echad. He also suffered from illnesses, and he was a Chosid Gomer, as the Gemara tells us in other places. So therefore, according to that, Rashi is saying kigoin doesn't mean like. It means I'll show you who is Mashiach in our generation is Rebbe. Rashi's second explanation means that it does mean kigoyin. It means in any generation, if you want to find an example of somebody who is of the caliber of Mashiach, then you can find somebody like Rabbeinu HaKadosh in a future generation who would be of that caliber. Imin Messiahu, if Mashiach is from the non-living, to go in Daniel Ish Chamudos, then an example would be Daniel Ish Chamudos, Daniel from Tanakh, who also was a tremendous chosid and tzaddik, and then went through Yisurim, being thrown into the lion's den and all that. Here you have, of course, the very, very famous, extensive discussion. Does the Gemara actually mean over here that Mashiach could come from somebody who's not living right now, or are we just using Daniel as an example from previous generations? And of course, there's been an enormous amount of ink spilled on that, an enormous number of YouTube videos on it, and so on and so forth about whether the Gemara actually means over here that Mashiach could be from somebody who's not currently alive and will come alive by Tchias Emesim and resume and take up his role as Mashiach. Okay. The Gemara goes on. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav. Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahamed Lahem David Acher. In the future, Hashem is going to set up for the Jewish people another David, meaning that Mashiach is going to, that David is going to be ruling over the Jewish people. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Va'avdu as Hashem lekehem," they will serve Hashem their God, the Ace David Malcolm and their King David Asher Akim Lahem, that I will set up for them. Now David lived in the past by the time this nevuah was said. Hakim loynema, it doesn't say that Hashem did set up for them Ela Akim, but rather that I will set up, meaning that David again is going to be ruling over the Jewish people in the future. Amalei Papa Abaya, Papa says Abaya. What do you mean? The pasuk says the David Avi Nosi Lahem La'olam. The pasuk says that David my servant. So you're saying there's going to be another David. So not the original David, but another king named David. But the pasuk says David Avi Nosi Lahem La'olam. My servant David will be the ruler over them forever, meaning that it will be the same David as before. So not a different David. So Abaya answers, he's going Kaser or Palvi Kaser. It'll be the kind of thing like the way you have an emperor and a vice emperor. So the same way, in other words, Mashiach will be the emperor, will be the ruler, and David HaMelech, the original David HaMelech, who will come alive by Tchesem Esim, will be like his viceroy. Although the Oroch understands the other way around, that Mashiach will be the viceroy and David will be the main king. There's a sicha where that ever talks about why does the Gemara have to use the word keser or palgi keser? Why not just say melech and mishnah melech? We're familiar with those terms from Tanakh. And the gist of the explanation is that keser were the Roman emperors, but there's a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah that talks about why did they have that title, is because the original one, Julius Caesar, was born by C-section. That's actually why we call it a Caesarean section, C-section for short. Yotze Dofen, it's called in Lashon Kodesh. So this is like a completely unexpected type of birth. And in the same way, the fact that Mashiach is going to come is going to be something, the way that Mashiach comes and the way that he's going to rule over the Jewish people and the way that he's going to bring the Geula, Midas Vashleima, is going to be such a completely unexpected, out of left field kind of thing, despite the fact that we've just spent two dafim and more talking about all the details of Mashiach. Still, when it actually comes, it's going to be completely unexpected how exactly it comes and how it fits with everything that we've been learning so far, that it can be compared to a C-section where the baby like comes out in an unexpected way. And then, therefore, the Gemara uses Kaser and Palgi Kaser in token of that. The Gemara goes on. Dorash Reb Simloi, my dichtiv, what does it mean, a posik? Hoi hamisavim es yom Hashem. Woe to those who are looking forward to the day of Hashem. In context, the posik is talking about the time of the Churban. There are people who are saying, let the Churban come. We don't care. We're tzaddikim and we're going to be safe. And then the Navi is telling them, don't think you're such great people that you're going to get through it, that you're going to get it okay. You're going to get through it okay. But here the Gemara is doubtioning it about the time when Mashiach comes, about Chevle Mashiach and the coming of Mashiach. So the Navi says, Lama zelachem yom Hashem, what do you need? The day of Hashem, hu choshech v'loy or. The day of Hashem is darkness, not light. Meaning, in the simple sense, it means, in other words, for the Shoyim, it's not going to be a time of light for you who don't deserve it. It's not going to be light, but rather the opposite. So what does this mean? It's like a rooster and a bat that are both waiting for the daytime. And then the rooster says to the bat, I'm looking forward to the light, because the daytime is my element. I have eyes to see, and therefore I appreciate the light. So I'll benefit from it. But you, the bat, what do you need light for? Your element is the darkness. So the same way, in other words, we say to the goyim, what are you looking forward to Mashiach's times? For you, it's going to be a time of darkness, not of light. Obviously, depending on, we learned previously that there are going to be the goyim who help us out, the most of Mashiach. They're the ones, by all means, they can be looking forward to it as well. They're going to have that opportunity to help us with becoming chachamim gedolim, but we're talking about the ones who are not like that, the ones who think about the second coming and the rapture and all that nonsense of theirs about what they think your most of Mashiach is going to be like. They're going to be rather unpleasantly surprised, is the point. As we find that a certain min says to Rabbi Bohu, Emasai osi Mashiach, when is Mashiach going to come? Omalei, and Rabbi Bohu answers him, L'chi chofi l'hu chashoicha l'hanhu inchi, when darkness covers those people, meaning people like you. Amalei, so the min says, Mela colitis me, Lee. Are you cursing me? Amalei, and then Rabbi Bobo tells him, Kroxiv, well, that's what the Pasuk says. Kihine achoshech echase eretz, darkness will cover the world, va'arotha lo'umim, and thick darkness, thick cloudy darkness will cover up the nations, va'alayich yizrach Hashem, but on you Hashem will shine, uchvode alayich yirah, and Hashem's glory will be seen upon you. So in other words, exactly that. There are going to be people in the world who are not at all, the very certain kinds of goyim, who are not at all ready for the ge'ula, and they think that it's going to be something entirely different than what it is, and they're going to be disappointed, and they're just going to have darkness. And meanwhile, the light of Hashem is going to shine on us Jewish people. So I'm not cursing you, he says to him, I'm just telling you facts. Okay. How long is Mashiach's kingship going to last? Now, as we talked about at the beginning of the parak, you have different opinions about what's going to happen, the Moshe Mashiach. There's going to be a kingship of Mashiach, and then according to the Rambam, there's going to have Tchias and Mesim, and eventually people are going to die, and it's going to be a world of pure neshamas. According to the Ramban, it's always going to be a world with gufim, but even so, there's the regular times of Mashiach, and then there's the second that the Rebbe talks about in Sichas. There's two stages within the Moshe Mashiach: a time when the world will function more or less as we know it, and then a time when you'll have when the world will function on a completely different level. We talked about before about how Hashem will eventually make the world chad charuv or trei charuv, 1,000 or 2,000 years of when the world will be destroyed. In other words, in a completely different higher level of beyond any gashmius that we can perceive. So what's going to be the transition period, basically, from when Mashiach begins to rule until all of that begins? So Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Yemos Mashiach Arba'im Shana. The time of the Yemos Mashiach, or at least that first stage of Yemos Mashiach, is going to last for 40 years. Shenema, as we find the pasuk, Arba'im Shana Okut Bedur. For 40 years, Hashem says, I will take the generation. Now, Okut, in the simple sense, in the pasuk, means that Hashem argued with that generation, and it refers to the Dor HaMidbar. But the word okut in future, first of all, it means in future, so therefore it's not referring to the past about the generation of the desert. It's talking about the generation of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's talking about something in the future, and the word okut were related to the word nokat, which in Aramaic means to take. So there's going to be a 40-year period that I'm going to take that generation, which is, in other words, there's going to be a generation which Hashem is going to take and make completely different than the previous generations. What would that be? The generation of Yemos HaMashiach. So he says 40 years, and during that 40 years, in other words, again, we're going to have Yemos Mashiach and see the Ziva Shechina and all of that. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah im Shivim Shana. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that it's going to be Marshall also points out, like this we have right after that, right before that, Arba'im Shana Alka Vador, right before that, we have the Pasuk Hayom Mekolos Yishmo, which as we learned yesterday, Mashiach told Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, anytime Hayom Mashiach can come even today, im Mekolos Yishmo, if you listen to Hashem's voice, and then in continuation with this Pasuk Arba'im Shana, so therefore, Rabbi Elazar understands that there's a connection between them. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I'm a Shivim Shana. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says it's going to be 70 years of Yemos HaMashiach. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'hoyah b'yemahu, v'nishkacha Tzur Shivim Shana. Tzur, the famous city of Tyre, which in those times was a great commercial center, and the Nevi'im described how it was going to be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And then the pasuk says, "V'nishkacha tzur shivim shana ki mei melech echad." Tzur will be forgotten for 70 years, like the years of one king. Melech echad suggests a unique king. Ezel melech miyuchad. What is a unique king? Heveyem ezem Mashiach. So you have to say that would be Mashiach. So therefore, in other words, so the pasuk is comparing how long tzur is going to be forgotten at to the time when Mashiach is going to be ruling. So Melech Miyuchad means Mashiach, whose kingship is going to be unique, is going to be chashuv, Rashi explains, important compared to all previous kings. Also, Marsha points out, it also means Miyuchad, in the sense, is going to be the only king at that time. Fine. Next, Rebbe Omer Shloisha Dodas. Rebbe says the time of Yemosa Mashiach is going to be three generations. Shenema, as the passage says, Yiro'ocha im Shamash, the Jewish people will fear you with the sun, meaning as long as the sun, in the time of Mashiach, we had before the passage Lifnei Shemesh Yinon Shmoi, that Mashiach's name is Yinon even before the sun. So here also Lifnei Shamash would mean im Shamash would mean with in the times of Mashiach, v'lifnei yareach, and before the moon, durim for a generation and generations, so therefore three generations. Marshall explains, like this we have before, there weren't three generations in succession of a kingship of Malchus based David over the whole Jewish people. You had David and then Shlomo, and after Shlomo passed away, the kingship was split up. So now in Mashiach's times, that will be made up for, and there'll be three successive generations of Yemosa Mashiach. The Rambam mentions, according to this one, by the way, because the Rambam writes, and he gets Taman, I think it is, that there's going to be Mashiach and his son and his grandson are going to rule over the Jewish people. Now, here we have the opinion that we said before. Rav Hillel Omer Ein La Mashiach LiYisrael. Rav Hillel says that there's no Mashiach for the Jewish people, Shekvar Achlu B'mei Chizkiyah, because they already consumed that in the time of Chizkiyah. I mean, that's when all the concepts about Mashiach came true. And as we talked about before, what exactly does Rav Hillel mean by that? Does it mean that he's denying the concept of Mashiach altogether, but he's an onus in doing so? Or does it mean that he means there's no proof for it in the Psukim? In any case, Rabbi Yosef says, Shalom Mori Rabbi Hillel. May Hashem forgive Rabbi Hillel for saying such a thing. He's clearly misunderstood the Psukim, says Rabbi Yosef. Chizkiyah Emas Hava, after all, when did Chizkiyah live? By his tradition, he lived during the time of the first place in Mekdash. The Ilu Zchariah, Komis Navi, by his Sheni. Meanwhile, you have the Novi Zchariah from Trey Osir, is saying Nevuah already in the time of the second place in Mekdash. But Omar, and he says the Pasuk, Gili Ma'od Bas Tzion, rejoice very much, daughter of Tzion, Hori'i Bas Yerushalayim, shout out, daughter of Yerushalayim, Hine Malkech Yoveloch, behold, your king will be coming to you, Tzadik V'Noshahu, he'll be a Tzadik who was saved by Hashem, V'Oni, a poor person, V'Roichav Al-Chamur, and riding on a donkey, as we talked about yesterday about Mashiach's donkey, V'Al Ayur Ben Asernes, and on a young donkey born from female donkeys. As we learned yesterday, yeah, Mashiach can come on the clouds if he comes Achishana, and he can come on a donkey if he comes Be'ita. So we see that Zechariah, a couple of hundred years after Chizkiyah, is still telling us in Nevuah about a human Mashiach. So how could Rabbi Hillel say that there's not going to be a human Mashiach, that Hashem himself will redeem us, so that you don't have a clear proof in the Psukim for Mashiach, etc., etc., according to all the various explanations that we said, when you see clearly that this pasuk refutes that. And again, as Chassam Sofer says, Rabbi Hillel had a right to his opinion, but nowadays, if a person were to say such an opinion, then it makes him an outright apikoros, because once the halacha has been established, not like him, then nobody has the ability to take up that opinion anymore. Okay, the Gemara says Tanya Ida. So thus far, that was one braisa listing different opinions about how long Yemosa Mashiach is going to be. Again, referring in particular to one stage of Yemosa Mashiach, as the Rebbe works it out in Sichas. You have a stage when Olam Kamin Hoge Noyeg, when the world is going to continue running in the same way that it does now, except that we're not subjugated to the Goyim. And then you have a later stage when you're going to have all the various things happen that it talks about throughout Shas, that the trees will be giving fruit every day, and as well it says. Talks in the Psukim about the wild animals will become tame, and that the sun and the moon will be tremendously brighter than they are now, and general Tiyas HaMeisim, and so on and so forth. That's the second stage.
It's probably connected with the masculine.
The Chassam Sofer, yeah, he's writing it in connection with Maskilim, I guess, but yeah, he's the context where he wrote this Truva. It may have been in connection with Maskilim. I mean, he mentions the question that was asking basically is like this, that Amman writes there are 13 Ikrim, and meanwhile you have Rabbi Yosef Albo, an important late Rishon, writes that there were really only 3 Ikrim. So the question was, is it really just the same thing in different words? Is the Sefer Ikrim saying there are 3 and they have outgrowths, which end up being the 13, and after all, what's the difference between an Ikr of Yahadus and not? It may be that Chassam Sofer was dealing with the fact that there were reformers who are starting to deny these things, but basically he's saying that they're not even so much that, it's more just to understand, Parshat, what does it mean that something is a fundamental of Yiddishkeit? Okay. So the Gemara goes on. Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa with more opinions about the length of Yemosa Mashiach. Rabbi Eliezer, I mean Yemosa Mashiach Aboim Shana. So again, Rabbi Eliezer says, like he said before, that Yemosa Mashiach is going to be 40 years. Now before he brought it from the pasuk Aboim Shana Okut Vader, here he brings it from a different source. Ksiv Hocha Vayancha Vayarivecha Vayachilcha. The Moshe says to the Jewish people, Hashem afflicted you. And he made you hungry, and then he gave you the man. We find when it comes to Mashiach, Samchenu Kimos Inisanu, make us happy in the same amount of time that you afflicted us, Shnosu Inura, during the years when we saw evil. So therefore, in other words, we're meant to understand that the Inisanu that we're referring over here is the time during which we were living off man, which was 40 years. So therefore, in the same way, Yemos Mashiach has to be 40 years. Rav Dosa says that that stage of Yemos HaMashiach is going to be 400 years. Because we find the different affliction of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim was 400 years. Okay, it was 400 counting from the birth of Yitzchak, but still the expression of the pasuk is they're going to be afflicted for 400 years. And again, you have the pasuk that make us happy in the times of Mashiach according to the amount of time that you afflicted us. So therefore, so that means it has to be equal to 400 years. So Malshar points out, you know, the 40 years is after all, if they hadn't sinned in the desert, they would have come right away. Now it's Yisrael, so therefore the 40 years can be called an inui, that Hashem afflicted them and delayed them. So therefore it has to be corresponding to that, it's to me, Yemos HaMashiach. And according to Rav Dosa, the same thing, you know, if Avraham hadn't said, Bamo Eda Ki Irashena, there wouldn't have been the Gzeira of the 400 years in the first place. So now Hashem was Gozer on us Jewish people, that we're going to have that inui, we're going to have that affliction. So then corresponding to that, Hashem is going to give us Simcha in the times of Mashiach. Rebbe, in the Shlosh Mes, the Shishim Machamishim Shana, Rebbe says it's going to be 365 years, Kaminyan Yemos HaChama, equal to the number of years, equal to the number of days in a solar year. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Ki Yom Nokam Belibi, there's a day of vengeance in my heart, says Hashem, O Shnas Geulai Ba, and the year of my Geula is coming. So now in other words, there's going to be each day corresponding to a year, just like we find by the Meraglim. They spent 40 days, spying out Eretz Yisrael, and because of that, the Jewish people spent 40 years in the Midbar. The same way, Shnas Geulai means 1 year for every day, for every day. So we want to interject, my Yom Nokam Belibi. What is this expression? There's a day of vengeance in my heart. It means Hashem is saying, so to speak, I've revealed the time when Mashiach is going to come to my heart, but not to my limbs. Hashem doesn't have limbs, of course, in like goof. But it means, in other words, that like Hashem doesn't even tell the tzaddikim who are called Evorim de Malka. It means that Hashem doesn't even, so to speak, it's only in Hashem's moichin and not in Hashem's midos. The point is, in other words, it's something concealed and known only to Hashem. Reb Shimon Lakish says in a similar vein, "Lelibi gilisi, l'malachi asharis legilisi." I revealed it to my heart, but not to the malachi asharis. So in other words, according to him, according to Reb Lakish, yes, Hashem might well reveal it to the tzaddikim who are called evarim of Hashem, so to speak, but not to malachim who are on a lower level. Okay. The Gemara says, "Toni avimi breid rabbahu yemosi mashiach liyisrael shiva salafim shana." There is, by the way, a different gears over here in what Rebbe is saying over here when he says 365 days. There's another gears, 365 years rather. There's another gears that's actually 365,000 years, because since as we know, Elof Shonim Be'enecha Kiyem Esmol, a day of Hashem, is like 1,000 years. So therefore, it would just be 365. It would be 365,000 years according to Rebbe. The Gemara continues, Toni Avimi Breide Rabbahu, Yemos HaMashiach Yisrael Shiva Salafim Shana. The time of Yemos HaMashiach for the Jewish people is going to be 7,000 years. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Mosos Choson Al Kala, like the way a Choson rejoices with his Kala, Yosis Alayich Hashem Alekoyach, doesn't actually say Hashem in the Pasuk, just says Alekoyach, Hashem will rejoice over you. So now, a Choson Kala celebrate together for 7 days, the 7 days of Shema Brachas, and again, Hashem's day being 1,000 years, so therefore that means 7,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. And again, the point is, after that, there's going to be, after that, there's whatever happens after that, according to the Rambam and the Ramban and the different opinions over there, but this is like the first stage of Yemos HaMashiach. So the Gemara continues, Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmo, Yemos HaMashiach, Kimi Yom Shenivra Olam Va'ad Achshav. The time of the era of Mashiach is going to be equal to the time from when the world was created until now, meaning now in the sense whenever Mashiach comes. So in other words, Shmo was talking in the year 4000 and 4000 or so. So it meant, according to that, at that point, if Mashiach had come then Yemos HaMashiach would be 4000 years. Now that it's the year 5785, then he's saying it would be 5785 years. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Kimei Hashemayim al Oretz. Hashem has sworn to give you Eretz Yisrael as the days of the heaven above the earth, meaning for as long an amount of time as the heavens have been above the earth. At this point, it's 5785 years since the heavens have been above the earth, since Hashem created the world. So therefore, the pasuk is saying that Hashem has promised to give Eretz Yisrael to us for that equivalent amount of time. And then after that, again, you have what's going to happen with the world, Chad Charuv, Trei Charuv, and all that, and the world is on an incomparably higher level. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says it's going to be equal to the time from Noach's time, from the Mabel, until now, which is about 4,100 years thus far. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Kimei Noach Zoisli, like the waters of Noach, this is for me, Asher Nishbati, where I've sworn that there will never again be a Mabel. But we're saying also that what it means is, just like ki mei noyach, now ki mei noyach means light, means as the waters of noyach. But the Gemara is doubting as though it said one word, ki mei noyach, like the days of noyach, Hashem nishvati, then Hashem has sworn, as the passage continues, that there's going to come a time when I'm no longer angry at you. So therefore, so it means, in other words, that there's going to be a time equal from the time of noyach until now, that Hashem has sworn that there's going to be a Moshe Mashiach. The Gemara continues, Omer Abchir Ba'aba Omer Abichan, and Kol Neviim Kulon Lo Nisnabu Eloli Moshe Mashiach. All the Neviim, when they say all the Nevuos about the tremendous goodness and greatness that it is going to be for the Jewish people, they're only talking about Moshe Mashiach, only that first stage when we're still in a Guf Gashmi and we have all those things. Aval La Olam Abba, but when it comes to Olam Abba, which again, according to the Ramban, means the world of only Neshamas, and according to the Ramban, means the world when it is Neshamas in bodies, but when the bodies themselves are on a far higher level, then as the pasuk says, Ayin lo yirasa elokim zolasecha yasa lamachak eloi. No eye other than yours, Hashem, has seen what he's going to do for those who wait and hope for him. So in other words, what's going to be at that time is so incomparably great that even the Nevi'im have not been shown a vision of what it is. However, the Gemara points out, Pliga de Shmuel. Now, that statement of Rabbi Yechanan, though, disagrees with Shmuel, Da'amah Shmuel, Ein Ben Ha'ol Mazeli, Moshe Mashiach, Ela Shibud Malchis Bilvad. According to Shmuel, the only difference between our times and the times of Mashiach is that we won't be subjugated to the Goyim. However, Shmuel understands all the promises of the Nevi'im about all kinds of new things that are going to be in the way the world functions are not referring to Moshe Mashiach, they're referring to a later stage, according to Shmuel. And again, here's where you have the different stages in Yemos HaMashiach. Here's where you have the different stages. You have the time when Olam Kiminhog and Noyeg, when the world is functioning as we recognize it, and then you have the time after that when the Nisim start happening and the world is completely when the world is still a Gashmiistic world but functions on a completely different level, and then you have a world beyond the Gashmiistic world when the Gashmiist of the world itself will come to a higher level. And then there's also the Alter Rebbe brings in Igeres HaKodesh, the idea from the Zohar that you have the Amei Ha'aretz are going to experience Yemos HaMashiach the way Shmuel is saying. All they're going to be is, for them, it's not going to be a miraculous time, just a time when we're not subject to the Goyim anymore, as opposed to those who've learned Torah, and particularly those who've learned Pnimiyas HaTorah, are going to be able to experience Mashiach on a much higher level. So, within the Rambam's phrasing, the Rambam himself uses this phrasing of Shmuel, but he uses it in kind of a different sense. He quotes what Shmuel is saying, Ein ben olam abba li Moshe Mashiach ela shibud malchus bilvad, but the Rambam is using it to say that the Rambam is using it to say, even for example, here Shmuel, for example, saying there's no difference except for Shibud Malchus, implying, for example, at a point to Shmuel, even for example, the Goyim will continue fighting among themselves, whereas according to the Rambam, he says that no, there'll be universal peace at that time. So here the Rambam is using the Shmuel's words, but not using it exactly as Shmuel himself meant, even. The Gemara continues. All the promises of the Nevi'im, of the tremendous greatness and goodness that is going to be for the Jewish people, is only for the Baalei Tshuva, who are on a lower level. Our Tzaddikim Gemurim, but the Tzaddikim Gemurim, again, Ein Lo Rosa, Elokim Zulasecha, no eye other than Hashem, than Hashem has seen what's waiting for them, because they're on so much of a higher level. However, the Gemara says, a Pligud Rababahu, Rav Chiya Bar Abba's statement that disagrees with how Rav Abahu learns. The Amar Rav Abahu, Amar Rav, on the contrary. So here, according to Rav Chiya Bar Abba in the name of Rav Yechanan, it comes out that the Tzaddikim are on a higher level than the Baalei Tshuva. And therefore, the Tzaddikim are going to have a reward that's not even, that hasn't been even shown to the Nevi'im, as opposed to the Baalei Tshuva. On the lower level, are going to have the rewards that were promised through the Nevi'im. Rav Abahu is saying the other way around. Mokum Shabaalei Tshuva Imdim, in the place where the Baalei Tshuva stand, Shom Tzaddikim Gemurim Einu Shavush Baalei Tshuva Einim Shom Tzaddikim Einim Einim Shom. Even the greatest Tzaddikim are not able to stand in such a place, because the Baalei Tshuva are greater than the Tzaddikim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Shalom Shalom Larochef Elakarev, peace peace to the far and to the near. So mean Vedeisha Rochef Vahadur Karev. So first Hashem is speaking to the ones who were far away from Hashem and did Tshuva, and then became and brought themselves closer to Hashem, the Baalei Tshuva, and then the Korev, and then the ones who were close to Hashem all along, the Tzaddikim. So we see that, according to that, the Baalei Tshuva are greater than the Tzaddikim, and they're the ones that Hashem is addressing first. My rochek, rochek meikra. The word rochek then means the ones who were originally far away from Hashem. Or my korev, and what does korev mean? Korev de meikra de hashta means the ones who were always close, the tzaddikim who were never distant from Hashem in the first place. So we see in that pasuk that the Baalei Tshuva are greater than the tzaddikim. Rabbi Yechanan, I'm aware Rabbi Yechanan is going to understand the pasuk differently. He says rochek means shu rochek me'aveira. The rochek, on the contrary, means the tzaddik who was always distant from aveira. He never fell into aveiras in the first place. Korev shu korev me'aveira v'nisrachek me'ena. And korev, on the contrary, means the one who was far away from who was close to aveiras and then separated himself from that. So Rabbi Yechanan is saying, I can still use that pasuk as a proof that the tzaddikim are greater than the Baalei Tshuva. And the Gemara continues. Here's another way of looking at the promises of the Nevi'im versus versus the even greater rewards that Hashem has in store. Kol Nevi'im kolam renisnabu elal masi bita v'tamen chacham. All the Nevi'im are saying their promises for a person who himself may be an Amoritz, but he marries off his daughter to a tamen chacham. Ol oisa prakmaki l'tamen chacham. And he does business on behalf of the Talmud Chacham. So like he invests money for the Talmud Chacham so that he can so in order to earn money so the Talmud Chacham can sit and learn Torah. So this is the person himself. He doesn't have the schus of learning Torah himself, but he's like the Zvulun who helps out the Yisachar. So he's the kind where the Psukim promise all kinds of tremendous rewards and riches and so forth for him. And in general, a person who gives Talmud Chachamim to enjoy from his property. So he does, in every way possible, he tries to become close to the Talmud Chacham. Aval, Talmud Chacham Atzma, the Talmud Chacham themselves, says Rav Chiya Bar Abba, on a much higher level, Ein Lo Rosa Elokim Zulasecha, no eye other than Hashem has seen what rewards they're going to get. So the Gemara says, my Ein Lo Rosa, what kind of thing are we describing, what kind of thing are we saying that no eye has seen it? This is the wine that's been preserved as grapes since Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. So in other words, a level of Gilui HaLakus, which all this time has been hidden and concealed, and now La'asid Lava is going to be revealed. So we're saying that that's even greater. You have all the promises of the Nevi'im, that those are all in the Gashmiistic world, then you have a level of Gilui HaLakus far beyond anything that we know. And Rish Lakish Omar, Rish Lakish explains differently, that Eden Shalai Rasa Ein Me'olam. This refers to Eden, which no eye has ever seen. V'im Toma Adam Heichen Haya, Heichen Dor, you're going to say, well, where was Adam? He was in Gan Eden, wasn't he? And the answer is no, Bagan, he was in the garden, not in Eden. And then Chassidim, in terms of Chassidus, you talk about this Gan Eden Atachtin and Gan Eden Elyon. You talk about there's different levels within Gan Eden itself, and you have a higher of Gan Eden Elyon, which refers to a level of Gilui Elokus beyond which Adam didn't even see. The Imtoma Gan Hu Eden, you're going to say they're the same thing, we call it Gan Eden after all. No, Tamad Lomer, no Yotzim Eden, Mahashka says a gun, as the Pesuk says, a river comes out of Eden to water the Gan, so we see that the Gan is something separate than Eden. So Eden represents a closer level of connection to, well, of course, something higher, Lamayla Meseder, Eshkalshalos, or whatever it is exactly, Kesser, Aden, and in particular, yeah, Aden means pleasure, so it's identified with Kesser, which is the sense of pleasure, the Rotsana Elyon, the Tainug Elyon, and then Gan is an outgrowth of that, which is something more accessible to the Nivroim. So that concludes the sugya about Yemos HaMashiach, which all of that. Now we've spent the last essentially nine blot or so digressing from one topic to another. The Mishnah had said a person says Ein Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah, loses his place in Olam HaBa, loses his chance for Tchias HaMesim. So that led the Gemara into a long discussion about Tchias HaMesim. From that we got to the Mason Shehechia Yechezkel. From that we got to Hanani Mishael Vazalia, where the nest with them happened at the same time. From that we got to Chizkiyahu, from whom Daniel Hanani Mishael Vazalia are descended. So we have the whole story with Sancheirim and Chizkiyahu. From that we got to Nebuchadnezzar and the Churban, and we went from one topic to another. And now these last couple of blot, we've talked about Yemos HaMashiach. Now, getting back to the Mishnah had given a list of a few other types of people who lose their place in Olam HaBa. So now we're going to continue discussing that. So the Mishnah had said, "Va Omer ein Torah min haShemayim b'chol," a person who says there's no Torah from Shemayim. So let's clarify that. Tana Rabbanan. Now the pasuk says, "Ki Dvar Hashem Baza." He's mocked the word of Hashem. Umitzvosa is how it says in the pasuk. And his mitzvah, hefar, he has canceled. He's violating that mitzvah. And therefore, the pasuk says, he kares, therefore that person is going to get kares. So what do each of these phrases mean? Dvar Hashem Baza means, Zeh ha'omer ein Torah min Shemayim. This is referring to a person who says the Torah is not from Shemayim, and Moshe just wrote it on his own. So he's mocking the word of Hashem, and claiming that it's not actually the word of Hashem. So therefore, he gets kares for that. Dover achav kidvar Hashem baza is the apikores. Another explanation of kidvar Hashem baza refers to an apikores, where the Gemara is going to explain later on what exactly the definition of an apikores is. Dover achav, another explanation, kidvar Hashem baza zamagalat ponim v'torah, a person who uncovers his face against the Torah, meaning who acts in a chutzpahdik way against the Torah. Again, as the Gemara is going to give definitions of that later on. So those are the various definitions of Dvar Hashem Baza. Ves mitzvosei hefar, when the pasuk continues, and he's transgressed his mitzvah, zeham nefer bris baser, this refers to a person who violates the covenant in the flesh, meaning bris milah. So he refuses to get a bris milah, even though if he refuses to get a bris milah, you can have a case, the Gemara mentions in some places, mesuach of machas milah, where, for example, his brothers passed away because of milah, because they bled out, and therefore he can't have one. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a person who knows the importance of bris milah, and he refuses to get one. Elsewhere, the Gemara mentions that it also includes what's called moshech orlosoi, where he takes his orla, and he takes what's left of the skin over there, and extends it in order to make it look like he wasn't gemalat in the first place. So he's also included in this thing. Gemara says. Anyway, so the pasuk says he chores, he will be cut off, he will be cut off, he chores by the mazes, he'll be cut off in this world, meaning that he won't get up for tchiyas hamesim. And he'll be cut off in Olam HaBa. He doesn't have a chelek in Olam HaBa. So that's where we, as the Mishnah had said, ha'omer ein Torah min haShemayim, loses his place in Olam HaBa. This is where we get it. This is where we get that from. So the Gemara says, Mikan, Omer Rabbi Elazar Amudoi, based on this, Rabbi Elazar Amudoi said what he says in Pirkei Avos, Hamachalos HaKodshim, when a person desecrates the Kodshim, for example, a person eats them when he's Tomei, Well, it's truma when he's tummy. Vamavazes a moyedes, so a person who treats the moyedes lightly, for example, he works on chalamoyed when he's not supposed to. So these things are included in Dvar Hashem Baza. These are examples of mocking and treating lightly the word of Hashem, who said not to do these things. And a person who violates the bris of Avraham Avinu doesn't get a milah, or stretches out the skin to make it look like his milah is gone. And somebody who uncovers his face and is chutzpahdik against the Torah, not in the right way, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, what that means. So all of those are included in Kidvar Hashem Baza. And a person who shames somebody else in public and causes his face to turn white. Now this we're not learning from Dvar Hashem Baza, but this is a separate thing that he's saying, that that a person has to be careful not to be mivaza somebody else in public. The Gemara elsewhere says it's like he's killing him. So all of these things, Rabbi Elazar Modroi says, Afal pi sheyesh bo Torah u'maasim tovim, even a person who does these things has Torah and has maasim tovim, nevertheless ein lo chelek olam haba, he will not have a place in the olam haba unless he does tshuva. So it's based on this. The Dvar Hashem Baza includes all these various things that he's doing, that he's treating lightly the word of Hashem, who said not to do these things.
There's a makari, like laughing at
it? Yeah, so the Malvin Penechaber, Baza means like he mocks and he makes fun of it and he says it's not important. Yeah.
Even though he learns Torah.
Even though he learns Torah, but yeah. The Gemara says Tanya Idach. We learn in another Braisa. Kidvar Hashem Baza again. Zeha Oima in Torah Min Hashemayim. This means, like we said, a person who says the Torah is not from Shemayim, and not just the whole thing. V'afilu Oma Kol Torah Kol Min Hashemayim Chutz Mi Pasuk Zeh. Even, for example, a person were to say, "Yeah, I agree, the whole Torah is from Hashem, except for this one pasuk that I think that Moshe made it up." Shaloi Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu Al Moshe Mepiatzmo. So Hashem didn't write this pasuk; Moshe made it up on his own. That also makes him that he's mocking the word of Hashem and loses his place in Olam Haba. Zeu Kidvar Hashem Baza. This is also included in Kidvar Hashem Baza. So it's not just enough to know that the Torah in general was given to Moshe, but that it's actually word for word was dictated to Moshe. The Gemara mentions in Megillah that when it comes to Chumash Devarim, Moshe mipi atzmei omrei, that Moshe said it on his own. What it means is shkinim and aberes mitzvot groin. Hashem is speaking through Moshe, and then the words of Devarim are being written, because Devarim is written for the most part in first person. Moshe says, "I did this, I said that," or whatever, but it's Hashem's voice speaking through him. There's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind that. The first four Chumashim is Hashem dictating to Moshe, and Moshe is writing them in third person as though like he himself is not being involved, and Chumash Devarim, you see more of an open involvement with Moshe, representing it's kind of more the transition between Torah Shebichsav, which is dictated word for word from Hashem, versus the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which are more the, where the Navi's perception of all the course comes more into the picture. As we looked previously, every Navi has his own style of speaking in Hashem's name, and later on we have Torah Shebaalpeh, where the wording is even less significant. So therefore, so like Chumash Devarim is almost like a transition between those, representing the transition from purely the word of Hashem to the word of Hashem as understood by and filtered through the human mind. But anyway, even the Chumash Devarim is also dictated by Hashem. It's just it comes through Moshe's throat, and therefore he speaks it in first person. The Gemara continues. Tanya, Hoyer Meir Omer. Sorry, I skipped a line. Va'afilo Omer Kol Torah Kolam and Hashemayim Chutz Midikduk Zeh. Even if he says the whole Torah is from Shemayim, except for this particular detail. Or he says Chaseiros of Yaseiros, for example. Obviously we have all over Shas where Chachamim disagree on the application of a certain Kavachoyim or Gzeira Shava, but he was saying, yeah, I know the Chachamim are saying this Gzeira Shava, but I refuse to accept it. I don't think that particular Gzeira Shava is Min HaShemayim. I think the Chachamim just made it up. Then that would be Zeru B'chal Kidvar Hashem Baza. That's also included in mocking and treating lightly the word of Hashem. The Gemara continues, Tanya Hoyer of Meir Omer, he was more things. Haloimed Torah Ba'inim Alamda, when a person learns Torah and doesn't teach it to others, Zeru Dvar Hashem Baza, this is also, he's mocking the word of Hashem. He's acting like the Torah is unimportant, like it's unimportant to share it with anybody else. Rav Nosson Omer, Kol Mi She'enim Ashgiach Ala Mishnah, where a person doesn't pay attention to the Mishnah and considers it unimportant. And that's also included in Dvar Hashem Bazeh, because even the Mishnah is part of Torah Shabbal Peh, and the actual wording of the Mishnah is not as significant word for word as Torah Shabbal Sav. Nevertheless, he still has to, it's important for him to still understand that the Mishnah is also the word of Hashem filtered through the human mind, and therefore you can't just treat it lightly.
I will say that the one before is considered Dvar Hashem Bazeh, then for sure a Mishnah.
Yeah. Each one is saying his own different opinion. There can be a person who learns Torah for himself and doesn't teach it, and then you have a person who doesn't pay attention to the Mishnah and thinks that it's just toffle, it's unimportant, all we need is Torah Shabbosav. Reb Nehoroya, Mekol She'efshar La'asifat Torah Ve'ena Osef. Reb Nehoroya says, when a person is able to learn Torah and he doesn't, then he can be considered Dvar Hashem Bazeh. Here the Altadeva brings that on the first page of Tanya as a proof that when we say, talk about a Benini is half mitzvahs, half averus, obviously not, since we see over here that for the lack of one mitzvah, a person can be called Dvar Hashem Bazeh. Rabbi Shmuel is a Ovid Avodas Kachavim. Rabbi Shmuel says that Dvar Hashem Bazeh refers to a person who worships Avodah Zarah. Why? My mashma? Where do we see that Dvar Hashem Bazeh refers to specifically to Avodah Zarah? The Tanan Vei Rabbi Shmuel. Ki Dvar Hashem Bazeh means Zam Vaza Dibur Shenem Lo Moshe B'Sinai. Anoshi Hashem Alekecha V'lo Yelecha Alekim Acherim. The words that were said to Moshe at Har Sinai, in which we Jewish people heard Hashem speaking it to Moshe, Anoichi and LaYelacha v'Gomer. So therefore, this is called Dvar Hashem because everybody heard it. It wasn't just the other Dibris. Hashem spoke to Moshe, and we heard Hashem speaking to Moshe, and Moshe speaking to us. These two we heard directly from Hashem. So therefore, they're more, in a certain sense, Dvar Hashem more so than any of the other mitzvahs. And therefore, Bazeh, he mocks it, and he worships Avodah Zarah. So then, Rabbi Shmuel says that's what the pasuk means. Okay. Since we mentioned the importance of learning Torah, so now the Gemara is talking about the importance also of reviewing what you learned. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kochoimah called a loymed Torah and a chozer aleh. A person learns Torah and he doesn't review it. It's like a person plants and he doesn't harvest. He's not going to get it. He wasted his time planting the same way. He doesn't review it. He's going to forget it. So he kind of wasted his time with it in the first place. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Kol Aloymer Torah Mashakha. Rabbi Yeshua says a person learns Torah and forget it. Doimel Isha Shia Ledes Kaveres. It's like a woman who gives birth and then miscarries her children.
After 9 months.
So that's, yeah. So the Ion Yaakov explains, in other words, Zareya Vayna Kotzer. Okay, at least he doesn't have so much tzar from it. Other people at least might benefit from the harvest, as opposed to over here. She goes through the tzar later and nobody ends up having a benefit from it, so therefore he's much worse. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Zamer b'chol yoyim, zamer b'chol yoyim. Rabbi Akiva says, sing every day, meaning have your learning so well organized in your mind and keep on reviewing it and this way, l'olam haba, you'll be able to be the simcha and the song of the Torah that you have with you. So we find famously that David HaMelech was punished for calling Torah Zmiros. So why is he saying over here Zama B'chol Yom? One difference is because there's a difference between the original learning versus the review. Here Rabbi Akiva is talking about the review. Oh. And we find elsewhere that it says that in fact they would learn with a song. When you learn Chumash and then when you learn Tanakh, you do it with Trup. They used to have, there would be Trup for Mishnah. You can find it in some Kisvei Yad. And when people learn, they learn with they learn with that kind of sing song, so that's included in Zamer B'chol Yom. Omer of Yitzchak Bar Avdini, Maikra, where is a pasuk that expresses this point about the importance of reviewing your learning and then making sure your Torah is with you? Nefesh Omel Omlaloi, the hard working soul has worked for him. Ki Ochaf Olav Pihu, because he's controlling, he's putting control Ochaf Meloshen Ukaf, a saddle. He's saddling up his mouth and putting the burden of Torah on himself and making sure that it's always in his mouth, like the way the saddle is always on the donkey. So we see that the Torah is working on his behalf and helping him earn his place in Olam Haba. Ki Ochaf Olav Pihu, because he keeps the words of Torah on his mouth like a saddle always on a donkey. Rashi brings another explanation. Zemer b'chol yom means when a person constantly sings and practices music. Eventually, he becomes a singer, a musician. The same way, a person reviews Torah again and again, then it becomes well established in his mouth. You keep on practicing, you become a singer. The same way you keep on practicing, you become a Talmid Chacham. So who omo b'mokam zeh? So in other words, a person is working over here in this world, but torosa and melasle b'mokam acher, and his torah is working on his behalf in olam haba and earning him a place in olam haba. And Rashi says also it means that the Torah itself is asking Hashem, please give to this person. You see how important this person considers Torah, that he's reviewing it again and again. He acts as though it's like a saddle on a donkey. Torah is always on his mouth. So therefore, Hashem, please help him out, that he should actually be able to learn the deeper aspects of Torah. So that's the Nefesh Omel. He works hard in Torah, on the Lord, and the Torah works for him in front of Hashem, then Hashem should grant him more knowledge of Torah. Talking about omel, about working hard, omer abalazah, kol adam lo omel nivra. Every person is born to do hard work of some kind. Shenema, ki adam lo omel yula, as the pasuk says, man is born to toil. Eini yedeya im la'amal pen nivra, im la'amal melacha nivra. What kind of work is a person put in this world for? Is it for the work of the mouth to learn Torah, or is it for the work of melacha? But since, as we quoted before, the pasuk that he has his mouth is working like a donkey with a saddle on it, then it means a person is created for the work of the mouth. So in other words, one way of looking at what the Gemara is saying over here is a person in this world primarily for the avodah of mitzvahs, which is represented by a mal malacha, where he's doing avodah sabirurim in this world, or is a person's main focus supposed to be learning Torah? And we're saying the main focus is supposed to be learning Torah with his mouth. Still, with his mouth could be the work of Torah, or it could be the work of mundane conversation. Within that itself, it means, in other words, there can be different levels of learning Torah. Since the pasuk says, "Layomush sefer Torah azamipicha," this book of the Torah should not leave your mouth. Heavy emelah mal Torah nivra. So we see a person is created in order to do the work of learning Torah in this world. So the Gemara, the Maharal Shor explains, in other words, like this. Here we're saying that a person that you have in Pirkei Avos, that Torah is supposed to go together with Malacha, called Torah She'enim Malacha Seifa B'Teila. So you would think, therefore, that maybe the main thing is the Malacha. So we're saying no, Amal Pen Nivra, as you find by Adam Rishon, before Adam was told B'Zeis Apecha Teicha Lechem, then his job was purely Torah and Mitzvahs, and even after that, then Torah Se'iku Malachdom or Malachdom or Malachdom Tefila. Torah is the main thing, Malacha is secondary. And then the Sicha over here would be, Amal Sicha would be, for example, that a person would tell other people about the importance of mitzvahs. So we're saying that's all fine and good, but even more important than that is Amal Torah, the work of learning Torah and teaching it, of learning Torah himself and teaching it to others. The Gemara continues. Behind the Omer Rava, this is like what Rava says. All bodies are drupatki. Rashi says talchonin. It means everybody was created for hard work. Rashi's second explanation is drupatki is like a long skinny purse that you put money into. So therefore, it represents everybody is like a purse. Everybody is a keli for something in the world. A person is well off when his drupatki is for Torah. Again, drupatki either meaning hard work, that again, a person is in this world for some kind of hard work. How well off he is if his hard work is in Torah, or according to the second explanation, that he becomes a nautic, that he becomes a case for Torah, that he fills himself up with the Torah, like the way a wallet contains money within it. The Gemara continues, you have a pasuk in Mishlei, noyef isha chasar lev, a person who commits niyuf, who commits adultery with a woman, is lacking in heart. This refers to a person who learns Torah only sometimes, so he's not constantly learning. So Rashi says, in other words, like a person doesn't have a wife, so sometimes he's going to this woman, sometimes to that woman, so therefore, in other words, so a person has to be learning Torah, a person has to make Torah a fixed thing, not just whenever I get around to it. Shenema, as we find in the pasuk, it's pleasant when you keep the words of Torah in your stomach, inside you. The words of Torah should be together on your lips. So when it's together, in other words, not just lip frucking once in a while when I get around to it, but rather that you stick to it. Now Yom Yom, it brings with it some tzedek. Once explained that in Gan Eden Elyon, they learn this line differently. I learned Torah the Prokim, Meloshim, that the Torah takes them apart. That he learns Torah and the Torah takes apart his gashmius and reassembles him into something better. The Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan. Now we talked about before, a person who's megala ponim b'torda shaloi kalaha, a person who mocks the Torah and misunderstands it. So what does this mean? So the Tana Rabbanan, v'anefesh shetasa b'yod roma. When we say a person who acts high-handedly and in a chutzpahdik way against Hashem, zem Menashe ben Chizkia. For an example of that is King Menashe ben Chizkia. We're going to learn about him in great detail in a couple more blocks. So Yoshev the Dorish Ba'Godes Shal Dorfi. He would sit and douse in the Torah and douse in even in public to people and have goddess and explanations of Dorfi of making fun and using the Torah improperly. He would in other words, he would give public drushes saying that things in Torah are unnecessary and other phrases like that and making fun of the Torah. Omar, he would say, wouldn't Moshe have nothing better to do to write in the Torah that the sister of Loitan is Timna? Why is that important? It's an unimportant detail in the Torah, he's saying. Or that Timna was a concubine to Eliphaz, or that Reuben went during the harvest and found Judoyim in the field. So he's saying, look, you know, these psukim are clearly unnecessary, and therefore he's claiming that either the Torah is not min hashamayim, and that Moshe made them up, and that he's writing things in the Torah that are unnecessary. So this is an example of megala ponim haTorah, shaloi kahalacha, where he's going and being chutz v'dik towards the Torah and claiming that things in Torah are unimportant. Yotza Basko Omrulaya, Basko came out and announced to him with the Loshen of the Pasuk, Teisha v'achicha tadaber, you're sitting and speaking against your brother. But then imcha tita doifi, against your mother's brother, you're speaking falsehood. And the next pasuk continues, Eilah Sisi, you've done these things, ve'charashti, and I've been silent. Dimisa, you're thinking, heyos eyechamoicha, that I'm just like you. Oshichacha, but now I'm going to give you musa, I'm going to prove to you that you're wrong, ve'ercha la'enecha, and I'm going to present it in front of you to show that you're wrong and these things in Torah have deep meaning after all. So now, well, the achicha and ben imecha, achicha is your fellow yid Moshe Rabbeinu. Ben imecha refers specifically. Moshe is from Shevet Levi. You Menashe are from Shevet Yehuda. You even have the same mother, Leah. Levi and Yehuda are both from Leah, and you're claiming that Moshe just made up things in Torah on his own, and that they're unimportant. So you're speaking in a chutzpahdik way against Moshe. But now I'm going to show you. Now if I'm quiet, so now Hashem is continuing. If I were to be silent, Dimisa, then you would think that I agree with you and I'm just like you. So therefore, now I'm going to show you that you're wrong, and everything in Torah is important. But all of Mefurash b'Kabbalah, and we find in Yeshaya, the Navi says about him, such a person, hoy, woe, moshchei oven b'chavei ashav, people who pull averis along with useless ropes, v'chavois ha'agola chata, and they pull along their chatoim, their sins, like with things like the thick ropes of a carriage. So in other words, here you're doing averis, and you're not even gaining anything from it. I understand if you're doing averis, where you have some kind of gashmistic pleasure from it, but what kind of pleasure do you have from this thing? It's Sam, you're doing Averis with no reason. Marshall explains differently that he's saying, you're claiming as though there are things in Torah that are shav, that are meaningless and unnecessary, and I'm telling you, Hashem says that you don't know what you're talking about, and there are very good reasons why Hashem dictated this to Moshe to write in the Torah. So, first of all, my ka voice ha'gola, why are we comparing it to the ropes of a wagon? Omer Abasi, Yetzahara, that's exactly how the Yetzahara works. But Tchila Dome L'chut Shokuvya, originally the Yetzahara starts out like a spider web, very thin, and you could easily break it. All of a sudden, if eventually a person listens to his Yetzahara again and again, Dome L'avoy Sa'agala, it becomes like a thick braided rope that's used to pull a wagon, so in other words, keeps on getting stronger and stronger. You have the Gemara and Sukkah that mentions the same kind of thing, that lost the lover. When Hashem killed the Yetzirah, the Rishoyim are going to see her, they're going to cry, how is it that we see it now as a hair? It was only like a little tiny hair that we could have easily defeated, and now it became a big mountain instead, and the Tzaddikim see it the other way around. So the Gemara says the Osan Allah Miyas. Okay, well, we have mentioned these psukim, and we talk about how Menashe mocked them and said they're unnecessary. Why? Let's Taka explain. Achos Loitan Timna Maihi. Why indeed does the Torah tell us that the sister of Loitan is Timna? So the answer is like this. Timna bas malachim avoy. Timna was a princess. Dichtiv, as we find in the Psukim, also there in Parashas Vayishlach, aluf loitan aluf timna, we find where it mentions the alufim of Seir and of Edom. It mentions the chief loitan and the chief timna. V'chol aluf malchus abloy togi. Whenever it says aluf, it means like an uncrowned king. In other words, he has the powers of a king, he just doesn't bear the title of a king and doesn't wear a crown. So it's like a warlord or a president or something like that, whatever. So the point is, in other words, so therefore Loitan is royalty in his land, and therefore Timna, his sister, is also part of royalty. What happened? Boyali Giuri, Timna now wanted to become a Gioris. Bosta Eitzel Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov, V'Loki Blua. So she came to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and then he wanted to accept her as a Gioris. For a few reasons, one of them being, we find in the Psukim over there, that she herself was a Mamzeres, and they didn't want such a person to join in with the Jewish people. It's based on different Psukim, where you find at one point she's described as a daughter of Eliphaz, and another place she's described as a daughter of Seir. So we understand that there was Znus over there, that Eliphaz was Mazana with Seir's wife, and then Timna was born from it.
But even though, like, if that happens, they can become a different person.
Yeah, it's true, Gershon is Gaia, but nevertheless, it seems that Avraham and Yaakov considered that it means that means she has a certain evil nature in her. There's also the point, I think, of Yaakov Emden makes a point, she may have been this guy, she may have been telling them she's coming to be this guy just in order to marry into the Jewish people, and that's not a proper reason for Gavis. Anyway, so they refused her. So she went and became a concubine, like a secondary wife to Eliphaz ben Esav. Omer, she says to herself, Mutab tehe shivcha l'umazu, better I should be even a slave woman to this nation who are descended from Abraham, for I take dvira l'uma acheres, rather than being a princess and a queen in another nation. So we see that she realized that she understood the importance of the Jewish people. Nofak mina Amalek, tzari no Israel, and for her son is Amalek who harassed the Jewish people. My time, and now why is that? After all, they shouldn't have distanced her. They should have tried to not just dismiss her out of hand. They should have taken her into consideration and try to bring her, even if maybe not a full Giyotis, but at least try to at least not reject her entirely. So therefore, Amalek came from her instead. So therefore, we see there's very good reason for the Pasuk to tell us that she's the sister of Loitan, and that she became a Pilegesh to Eliphaz, because that tells us the whole story of what happened with her and the importance of not rejecting Gerim altogether. We do have to tell them it's not so easy to be a Yid, so be aware, you can do Shavim Metzid Menayach, but we don't just throw them out. Okay. That's as far as that. What about Vayelech Ruvin Mimekzir Chitim? Where again, another one of those psukim that Menashe is mocking and saying there's no reason for it. What is the reason for that pasuk? So the answer is Amar Rav, Rav Yitzchok, Amar Rav, Mikam Tzadikim Shein Poshin Yadayim Begezel. From here we see that Tzadikim do not stretch out their hands to take anything that's not theirs. Here it was Mimekzir Chitim. It's during the time of the harvest. So Ruvin could easily be taking wheat or barley or something like that from the field, and instead he took these Dudoyim, which are a plant that the farmer Bechlal doesn't need. So it means, in other words, now, of course, you know, to not steal is not such a wonderful thing. That doesn't make him such a tzaddik. But we learned in Baba Basra, we have the expression that many people stumble in gezel, because you have avak gezel, you have things that are not truly gezel, but that are like that border on gezel, and people rationalize it to themselves. So therefore, so what we mean is that Reuven is not doing like that. He could argue, for example, that listen, like Lloyd's shepherds argued, Hashem is going to give us the land, and therefore everything in it belongs to us even now, and nevertheless Reuven doesn't do that, and he only takes the Dudoyim. So the Gemara says, my Dudoyim, what exactly are Dudoyim? Omer Rav Yavruchi. So Rav says this is a plant that in his times was called Yavruchi. In English, it's called mandrakes. They're a plant. They're in the same large extended family that includes things like tomatoes and potatoes and things like that. In those times, they used to use it medicinally, and particularly they used it for fertility, which is why Rachel wanted them in the first place, because she hoped it would improve her fertility and she'd be able to have children. Levi almost sigli. Levi says it's a plant called sigli. In modern Hebrew, sigal means violets, but Rashi on the pasuk says that it's a jasmine. whatever, a very, very fragrant flower. Rabbi Yonas and Omar Sibsoch or Svisky, and another identification of it, Svisky, which is also another name, for mandrakes. You have a difference between the mandrake root and the mandrake flower, so you have different possibility of what these flowers were. Actually, mandrakes, the flowers of them are violet or purple in color, so it might mean also that when Levi is saying over here Sigli, he may not mean violet, a separate flower, he may mean violet colored flowers, as in the flowers from the mandrakes, and in that case, all three of them are agreeing it's the same plant. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beth Hashem. We'll continue talking about the importance of learning Torah and about we talked about before Megalaponim Torah Shalei Halacha and Mevaza Tamid Chacham and so forth. So we're going to get more into that tomorrow, Beth Hashem.